It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Organic Farming Conference is underway in La Crosse. It's put on by the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. It attracts thousands of people with dozens of workshops. We're checking in on the state of organic farming here in Wisconsin. Is your farm organic? What do you produce? How long have you been in business, and how is production? What questions do you have about running an organic operation? We're at 800-642-1234. Adam Seibel is a fifth-generation farmer in Bloomer. He co-owns a certified organic dairy with 140 cows on about 1,200 acres. Adam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you.
So what brought you into organic farming? How did you get into this business?
That was something that my parents had transitioned the farm to almost 20 years ago. So when I came to the farm, it was a organic farm to start with. So that's really what I grew up knowing. I really don't know any other way. But my parents did it looking for a little better way of farming, a little bit better on the profitability side and the health aspect.
So you transitioned your family farm in the 90s. What have you learned since then over the decades about what it takes to be an organic farmer?
We've gone through lots of different trials with the cows and the crops, and the big thing is every year is different. There's not going to be one silver bullet that works every year, so we just don't put all of our eggs in one basket when it comes to the crops or the cows or anything in general.
Well, let's start with the cows first. You have some robotic milkers, is that right?
Yes, we do. We installed them 8.5 years ago now.
How have they operated for you?
They were a struggle at first. It was a learning experience mainly, learning how to handle and manage cows using the robotics and the technology that came along with it. Being in it as long as we are now, it was one of the best investments we've really made, allowed for a lot more flexibility in our day-to-day schedules, and just a much easier or healthier way of milking the cows, I should say.
Yeah, and so how do you balance out trying to focus on the organic crops and also trying to make sure you keep up with this certified organic dairy with 140 cows? There's probably a lot to think about almost in two different business models.
Yeah, there is. That's why we have a great group of employees that help us out. I also work closely with my dad and my brother, and we all kind of divvy up our jobs, and we all work together to kind of execute the tasks that are needed to be done that day. We definitely couldn't do it without a good group of guys to achieve the goals for the day. That's the big key there.
So as you look at technology for your planting and cropland, what are you using there? What are you using on your crops?
So we've implemented some precision planting technologies so we can make sure that we're planting the corn in the correct position at the correct depth and at the correct time. We've also experimented with all sorts of different tillage practices and crop rotations, and we do a lot of cover cropping. So there's just a really big, diverse group of things that we do.
And when you're with tillage, you're rotating the soil. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we have to do tillage to control weeds.
And, you know, controlling weeds is a big issue among organic farmers, because you have to figure out, you know, what can you use on crops and what can't you use, and that has to be really specific. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain herbicides that we can spray. We personally do not use any sort of organic herbicide. We don't feel the need to. As long as you have a good diverse crop rotation with good cover crops, for the most part, we can control a lot of our weeds. We're using alfalfa strategically to give the weed cycle a break, especially on our row crops.
And what types of row crops do you plant?
So we raise corn, soybeans. We're looking at possibly doing kidney beans. And we'll do a lot of small grains, oats, winter rye, We've experimented with field peas, and we've done wheat once or twice, but we haven't successfully been able to do that one.
Kidney beans, what attracts you there? What are you seeing there in that market?
Well, the price is very good. We have not planted this yet. This is something we're looking into possibly doing this year. I hear they're a pain in the butt to harvest, but it's a very short growing crop. So you plant it beginning in June, and it's typically harvested around the beginning of September. So you have a very short window where your weeds hopefully will not mature. So it's something where you can kind of use it as a weed management tool as well.
So as you plan out your crops and what you're going to plant and when, do you have to look at market forces as well and what the organic industry is wanting?
We do to a certain extent. We do take that into consideration because, you know, the bottom line is we have to be able to cash flow and pay our bills, so we want to plant the most profitable crops. But also we look long term. We have to look at what sort of crop rotation is going to make the organic system sustainable. That is one big difference in the conventional mindset versus the organic mindset, is we're always looking long term. What is the effects of this crop being planted 5 years from now? Whether it's just soil diversity, getting different bacteria in the soil, versus, you know, if you're doing a constant corn-on-corn rotation, you don't have a lot of diversity in the soil.
We're talking with Adam Seibel. He's a fifth-generation farmer of Cones, a certified organic dairy farm, also with row crops there. He has 140 cows. You can join in the conversation. What are your thoughts on state policies regarding organic and sustainable production? Is there enough being done to help family farms survive in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Adam, Wisconsin, as you know, leads the nation in farm bankruptcies. More than 800 dairy farms closed last year. Are organic farmers up against the same obstacles, the same challenges as farmers who don't go organic on their farms?
Yeah, we are. Recently, the milk market has become flooded with milk. So we've had to really change our strategies as far as looking at our cost of production a lot closer, trying to get that as low as possible. With feed costs as high as they are, it becomes very difficult. A lot of it has to do with the regulations as well. They're not being enforced as well as I would like to see them.
What do you mean by that?
Pasturing rules. You have to graze a certain amount of time on pasture, and if you're an extremely large herd, it becomes very difficult. So if you're not enforcing these rules on the national level, it becomes very easy for large farms to come in and flood this market. And that's what's happened over the last 3 to 4 years.
You're talking about CAFOs, these large capacity farms. Do you see that they have an impact on your bottom line?
Yeah, they do. I mean, our pay price went from the mid-30s down to the low 20s in a matter of, well, 14 months. So being able to adjust your budget with that kind of cash deficit in that short amount of time is very, very difficult. Thankfully, we've had a good lending source, and we've been able to, or they've been willing to work with us on it because they know the struggles that we're going through.
Looking at feed costs here for a moment, do they fluctuate much in the market?
That is the one strong point in the organic market right now, is grain prices. They typically are pretty stable. There's not a whole lot of fluctuation in price. I guess the milk market kind of goes that way too. It's stable. It's not good, but it's stable. So the grain prices are relatively stable. They tend to increase slightly maybe throughout the summer and then fall back around harvest time, and then early winter is kind of the trend.
Well, let's take a call now. Owen is joining us from Waiwega. Hi, Owen.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, so I've been farming in Wisconsin since 2013. Reason I looked at two organic farms that were shipping to Organic Valley One was shipping 6 months before, and the other one hadn't shipped for a few years. And both instances, these were smaller herds, smaller capacity farms, and we were turned down for milk market because, you know, like he had been saying, there's too much milk on the market right now. My biggest concern is, you know, the co-op can control who's coming in and who's producing for them. And it seems to me like they like to have these larger herds like the ones out in Texas and Missouri that are milking 10 and 20,000 cows on pasture, supposedly, which is almost inconceivable because you can't run cows back into milk.
Well, Owen, I want to pause right there and look at getting the milk to processors. Adam, what about this piece, trying to get your milk to the processor?
I mean, I agree with this gentleman. It is more cost effective to ship the milk from a large farm to the processor. However, that's not what the consumer is looking for. They're not looking for these mega farms to be shipping this kind of milk. So from a cost production standpoint, I see that it is more cost effective to be able to ship tanker loads of milk from one farm directly to the creamery.
We're talking about the business of organic farms with Adam Seibel, who co-owns an organic dairy in western Wisconsin. You can join in this conversation. Are you a farmer who has transitioned to organic? Why did you decide to make the change? How many years ago? Was it recent? And is it worth it? Are you going to the organic farming conference in La Crosse that's underway? What do you want to learn? Join in the conversation on organic farming, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to this conversation in just a moment with Adam Seibel. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Talking about the business of certified organic farming here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state Senate is expected to take up farm relief bills when it meets next month, and the package came after Governor Evers called a special session to help the state's farmers and rural communities. Wisconsin leads the nation in family farm bankruptcies, so how is your organic farm operation doing? What do you think about state policies regarding organic and sustainable production? Is there enough being done to help family farms, specifically organic ones? Join in 800-642-1234. Adam Seibel stays with us. He runs a certified organic dairy farm, does row crops as well in Bloomer. Let's take a call now. Cindy is here from Milwaukee this morning. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I want to buy organic milk. Where does your milk go after it leaves your farm?
So our milk is shipped to Westby Creamery, which is right in Westby. However, none of our milk is actually made or left into fluid milk. It all goes into cheese. So if you're looking for a good source of milk that is raised locally, your best bet is to buy Organic Valley. They seem to be the number one processor in this area of organic milk.
Cindy, thank you for the call. In November last year, Adam, Dean Foods, the largest dairy producer, filed for bankruptcy, and the company did work closely with Wisconsin-based Organic Valley, which has said it's unaffected by the bankruptcy. How important is it to have a reliable organic distributor that's based near your farm?
Well, that allows us to do a lot of efficiencies when it comes to the sale of our milk. We don't have to haul it all across the country like other places may have to get it here into the Midwest where a lot of the organic processors are. So having it close is very beneficial from that standpoint. It's also nice to have that market right in this area. It's kind of been the footprint of the country for organic, and that really represents this area very well.
Let's bring in Pat now in Watertown. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
What's on your mind about organic? You're a dairy farmer.
I am. I'm a dairy farmer out by Watertown. We milk about 100 cows. And I just wanted to call in and just chime into the conversation slightly in that there's nothing absolutely at all wrong with organic, but I am a conventional farmer. I use antibiotics on my animals when they get sick and then, you know, hold the milk and hold the meat for appropriate times, and just kind of wanted to remind folks out there that there's nothing wrong with organic, and there's nothing wrong with regular milk. Every gallon of milk that you see on the store shelf and every block of cheese is antibiotic free. There's no antibiotics that make it from us, you know, here at the farm. Every load of milk is tested before it ever, you know, enters the plant.
Pat, thank you for bringing that point, your perspective from conventional practices. Adam, what happens when your cows get sick?
So we do have natural remedies that we can try to use. They're not 100% effective all the time, but one thing we look at on our farm a lot is soil health. So what we believe in is we work with everything from the ground up. So when we have healthy soils, we have healthy feed, and that healthy feed and nutritious feed is fed to our cattle. We work very closely with the nutritionists to get a well-balanced ration, and to be honest, we seldomly have sick animals.
So it's really a cycle that if you start from the ground up that and everything is done appropriately, you can really keep your dairy cattle healthy.
Yeah, that is true.
Let's bring in Scott now in Middleton. Hi, Scott.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
My question is simple. If I'm driving through rural Wisconsin, how do I tell the difference between an organic cow and a non-organic cow?
You can't. They look identical. You will not know the difference. A lot of times you can't even tell the difference in an organic crop versus a conventional crop. All you're going to see in the field from that standpoint would be a sign that says this field is certified organic or toxic spray prohibited.
Scott, thanks for that question. Adam, how difficult is it to get certified organic?
It's really not that difficult of a process. Transitioning the land is a 3-year process, so you have to, for 3 consecutive years, not use any prohibited substances, whether it's a spray, a fertilizer, or whatever it might be. But you cannot use any prohibited substances for 3 years, and then your land becomes certified organic. And then after that process, you feed that feed to your cattle for 1 year, and then your cattle will become organic as well. If you want to streamline that process, you could purchase organic feed, and your cattle could become organic in 1 year.
Okay, so it can either be a multi-year process if you buy the feed, or you're looking a single-year process if you buy the feed, but multi-year if you are trying to do it from the grassroots from your own farm.
Yes, that is correct.
Well, let's bring in Jim now in Cedarburg. Jim, hi. Oh, are you there, Jim? Nope, he's not there. Well, Jim was wondering about legislation. We saw the state Senate plans to take up a package of farm bills that recently passed the assembly. You know, one provides $5 million to promote dairy exports. Another will provide $600,000 in grants to dairy plants. What do you see out of this farm relief package, Adam?
I guess I don't focus too much on the farm relief packages because they don't really focus on the organic side at all. It's all based on the conventional markets, the conventional demand and supply. So I know very little about what is going on with the conventional supply and demand market, and I seldomly pay that close attention to it, so I couldn't give it a good answer on that.
One of the bills, of the 7 bills, is looks specifically at a tax reimbursement for a tax credit for health care. Where do you get your health care, if I may ask, and other types of things that you need for your business and types of you know, insurance and things like that?
So we work with a Christian health sharing plan. And it's been very reasonably priced. It's something that we just started here this past year. My wife became a stay-at-home mom who works as a health nutritional coach right now. And so we had to, prior to that, we were getting health insurance through her work. but now we are doing it through this Christian Health, and it seems to be a very good company. We haven't had to use them a whole lot yet, but it's very reasonably priced, and that's what we're looking at with that.
Talking with Adam Seibel, co-owns a certified organic dairy in Western Wisconsin. You can join in 800-642-1234. So, Adam, yesterday the Organic Farming Conference kicked off in La Crosse. It's put on by the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, runs through tomorrow. You're headed there after our conversation. How does this event support organic farmers?
This really just gives organic farmers a chance to get together and talk, and also sit down and learn all new practices that might be going on throughout the country, give you different ideas to go back to the farm and get excited again about what you could maybe do this year or things you could change. And if you're looking at certain little health aspects, they have a wider range of classes and seminars that you can attend to really learn whatever you want that would pertain to organic farming or organic health.
I'd imagine you talk with other organic farmers there and you exchange ideas.
Yeah, we do. That's probably the best part about this, is just sitting down at lunch or in between classes and meeting new farmers and talking to them about what they're doing in their business. And it really does help a lot, because every farm is really different and not one thing works on another farm. So when you sit down and you start bringing these little ideas back to your farm, some may work, some don't, and that's just the joy of farming.
Well, Adam, thank you for joining us and sharing your joy of farming.
Thank you.
Adam Seibel is a fifth-generation farmer who lives in western Wisconsin, and he co-owns a certified organic dairy with 140 cows. Last year, he and his wife, Chrissy, were named the Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmers of the Year. Coming up on Wisconsin Weekend, we explore fat tire biking trails straight across the state and why these bikes are becoming more popular. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.